Welcome to Comedians with Ghost Stories. I'm writer and comedian Emily Winter, and I'm very excited about this week. It's Halloween week. It is spooky week. And if you love spooky stuff, you are probably as pumped as I am. I'm putting out this episode today, Wednesday, but I am going to put out an extra episode on Halloween. So look for that on Sunday. What else? If you love the macabre, I suggest going on Madame Morbid. They do trolley rides around Brooklyn that I just went on, and it was so fun. I'm looking it up right now. I should have had my shit together. It is madamemorbid.com. I keep saying madame. It's madam. What is wrong with me? Madame Morbid trolley tours. Anyway, it's a history of Brooklyn through sort of a dark and murderous lens, and I really enjoyed myself, so I wanted to spread the word, and they were very nice people, so yeah. What else? I've got a book out, came out this month. It's called One Day Smarter, and it is full of uplifting information. I recommend it for anyone. There is also a chapter called Morbid Facts for Know-It-All Goths, because I still like dark stuff, even though I wrote a happy book. But it makes a great gift for grab bags for the holidays, so please buy a copy wherever you get your books, and thank you very much, and I hope you are having a great week and a spooky week, and enjoy this episode. Today on the podcast, I'm super excited to have Tyler Zioli. Tyler, welcome!
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Oh my gosh. Well, you were recommended, or our friend put us in touch because you told an amazing ghost story at one of my favorite venues, QED in Queens. And I can't wait to dive into it. So where does your story take place?
So my story takes place on the scariest place of all, Staten Island.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's super weird. It actually starts a little bit before that, back in Long Island. That's where I grew up. Cause you know, when I went from Long Island to Staten Island, I wanted the same place, but a little bit worse. So, I grew up in this really strange household. My, mother was culturally Jewish, so she didn't really believe anything, more just did the ritual of religion. And my father was formerly Roman Catholic, so he definitely didn't believe in God, but he super believed in ghosts.
I love it. I'm kind of the same way, so I get it.
Me too. Very much there. So that was super kind of weird, but there was this really specific thing that happened at my home where allegedly this old man, well, no, this part isn't alleged. An old man definitely did die of a heart attack in my parents' bedroom, like way before they moved in.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And the official story that everyone knows is that he died of a heart attack. But there was this old woman who lived across the street who, like, we never really saw live there, but she'd been there forever. And so the one time we did talk about it, she cryptically told us that, like, no, he didn't die of a heart attack. He was actually murdered by his two sons because they wanted to, like, inherit the house and then sell it after, like, flipping it.
Whoa, that's evil.
No, right? Like super bad energy, like very not good. And so my dad actually was part of this film festival, this horror film festival called the Macabre Fair. And so he was associated with a lot of people doing supernatural things and was friends with ghost hunters. So he had them come over to our house to be like, let's check this out.
Dude, your dad rules. I love your dad.
Oh, yeah, no, he's fucking awesome. He's so, oh, can I curse on the podcast?
Yeah, yeah.
Is that a- cool. Oh, so he had them come over, they set up all the equipment, and they like sort of found evidence of a ghost. In that, like, they played the recording, they asked the questions like, is there a spirit here? If you are here, can you give us your name? And like the ghost on the recording said Joe, which is really strange because like the mail that we had gotten since like after he had passed, all of the stuff addressed to the last resident, his name was Joe. So that was like a very strange thing. So yeah, so it was super weird, but I was a rebellious teenager. So like, even though my dad was this super cool, like in all of these supernatural, really cool spaces, I was like, no, I can't believe in any of it. So we didn't really have any other supernatural things, except it was really strange that my dog would just like stare up at the staircase, just into the darkness and bark.
Oh, wow.
Like, every night without fail.
Awesome.
So it was a little trippy. But then I went off to college on Staten Island and
I didn't know Staten Island had a college.
Surprisingly, they have a couple. There's CSI and there's Wagner. Wagner is the college that I went to.
Okay.
And on this campus at the point, there was this co-ed fraternity on campus that was run by a bunch of queer pagans. So it was basically a cult.
Amazing.
Yeah, no, really lovely. Definitely this is where I kind of like got into my spirituality a little bit more. Like everyone there were practicing witches, so they would like do spells, they would do meditation. I learned about spirit writing there, which is really interesting.
Spirit writing?
Yeah, so spirit writing is when a person gets into a deep meditative state and tries to channel something and they have a notebook in front of them. And so then they just write out whatever comes to them. And like, they're trying to have a conversation with the spirit, basically using your own body as a Ouija board.
Okay, cool, cool.
I tried to do it multiple times, very unsuccessful.
Were you just like, this is just my diary at this point? Yeah.
Pretty much. I was like, oh, cool. I had some nice little therapy, I guess. I don't know what's going on. Yeah. But so my friend Raven was really one of the big proponents there. She was really one of the, she's an indigenous woman from California with indigenous roots in Mexico. So she's very in tune with a lot of practices. And so she did my first Ouija session for me, actually, because I had like done one when I was like 12, but I was off in the corner of the room while everyone else was playing with it. Cause I was like, not for me.
Fair.
So I was like, all right, yeah, let's do this. And so we sit down and they do all the incantations, you know, like, thank you, let's bless this space, only positive entities can come in here, that whole kind of deal. And we went, okay, do you have a message for Tyler? And the planchette moved aggressively over to yes.
Oh my god.
And I was super skeptical, so I was like looking at her arms, looking at her shoulders, looking at her fingers, being like, is there tension anywhere that you might be moving this?
So it was just Raven doing it alone?
Yeah, it was okay. Just me and, well, me and her, you both of our fingers. Yeah, yeah. Because I felt it move underneath my fingers. I definitely wasn't pushing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't see any on her arms or fingers or anything. So it's like, okay, I guess, like, I'm still skeptical, but I'm here for the ride. Like, we'll go along with this.
Mm-hmm.
And then the planchette, when we asked what the message was, went from D to I, nope. Then E, and nope. Then I pushed the planchette off the board. I was like, no, thank you. No more for me.
That's I was, so scary. Yeah. If they were like, die? Oh no, that's so evil. Oh my God.
Literally. I was like having a panic attack at that point.
Who else is in the room as this is happening?
So it was me, my pledge sister Raven, this other person named Hyde, and I think one other person whose name was Aaron.
Did they get all freaked out? Was everyone so freaked out?
Everyone was kind of weirded out, but they were much more into like the darker aspect of working with spirits and stuff. So they're like, ooh, this is super cool. And I was like, no, thank you. Not for me.
You guys are the one who's been told to die. Yeah.
Literally, right? And so like, I'm freaking out and Raven goes, hey, calm down. It's okay. And she runs over to her altar because she has this really lovely altar set up and she grabs me a crystal. And this is a piece of labradorite. It's this beautiful emerald green crystal. And she goes, here. Take this. It's a very protective crystal. You're going to be okay. But also remember that demons can't touch you unless you give them consent, which is like really good to know. It's very good to know that demons have a better grasp of consent than like most cisgendered men, you know?
Yes, absolutely. I feel like this is, yeah, that's a good demon, especially for a college campus, man. Like, wow. They could teach a class.
Yeah, actually the demon would be holding the whole seminars about diversity and inclusion, you know, it'd be really great.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
So this whole thing happens and I'm like, okay, I'm really sketched out, but I'm with all these people who seem like they know what they're doing and like they cleanse the space. Like I have an indigenous person doing cleansing rituals with sage. So I feel like I feel a little bit safer with that. And nothing really happens for a little bit. At one point, actually, this person named Hyde with that same Ouija board was like joking and put it up on the wall. And then that Ouija board stayed there for months.
What?
Yeah.
Seriously? Without tape or anything or glue?
Nope. Just stuck on the wall.
That's like impossible.
Indeed it is. Indeed it is.
So like everyone in the fraternity must have seen this, right?
Yeah, no, and we all just took it as normal. because we were like, because there's this really interesting thing that actually ties really well into the next section. Because this is a fraternity, as you expect, there was intense hazing going on. And so that energy, in addition to all of the like the hallucinogens and the meditations and all the rituals, really fed into this energy because it had just been cyclical, like every semester for 100 years.
You're not going to question anything when you're being hazed as well.
Exactly. Yeah. Very, very Stockholm syndrome-y. You're like, oh, this is my reality now.
Yeah. These are my best friends, the people that torture me. Yes. Yeah.
You know how it goes. So a couple months later, I get into my hell week at the end of this fraternity, mm-hmm. which is, if for anyone listening who doesn't know, I'm so jealous of you. The hell week is at the culmination of this torture where, for me specifically, I wasn't allowed to sleep, wasn't allowed to shower, wasn't allowed to talk to anyone outside of the frat for the whole week. But I had this really cool little loophole where I had been kicked out of college when I started pledging this fraternity.
The college that you were at in the fraternity at? What happened?
Allegedly, maybe I might have been distributing flower pharmaceuticals, you know?
One of my best friends was kicked out of college for the exact same thing. Yeah.
So that was a whole thing. And like, that's a whole other story because God. But so I was illegally sneaking onto this campus to get tortured because, as we stated, Stockholm syndrome is crazy. But because I was not actually enrolled at the school and I was living out on Long Island at the time, I also had to work. So I was living and working out on Long Island at this little obscure cafe. It's Starbucks, you might have heard of it. And so during Hell Week specifically, I would drive out every single day back and forth. And when you're sleep deprived, not the best move. There was one time where I was driving out where I was driving. I had like kind of fallen asleep a little bit. And then I woke up sideways with two of my tires on the divider on the Long Island Expressway.
Oh my God.
Not so great.
Dangerous. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so this was the third day this instance happens. I'm kind of panicking. I'm kind of freaking out because, you know, the torture and the sleep deprivation. And my big in the fraternity is like, hey, you're going to be okay. And he gives me a dab. And I take this dab. And for those of you who don't know what dabs are, they're very, very concentrated THC. Basically like smoking 10 bowls at once. It's like the only equivalent I can really control it to. And so I go, all right. And I go, he lays me down in his bed. He's like, don't tell anyone, take a nap. You're going to be all right. I'm like, okay. So I'm laying down in the bed. And I'm looking up at the ceiling. And in the background, because they're still torturing the rest of my pledge siblings, I'm hearing the song, What's Going On, playing in a loop over and over again. And it's like, and I get real high and I scream at the top of my lungs, what's going on? And as that's happening, I'm seeing faces form in the ceiling of the room that I'm in.
Oh my
in
a God. Circle,
like clown faces. I'm like, oh, this is strange. And then those faces morph into demon faces. And then they circle into one big face that's just laughing at me. And I grab the Labradorite that's in my pocket because I still have it because I'm like, I haven't let it go since the whole Ouija board thing. Yeah. And I grab it and instantly I'm sober.
Whoa, like you felt like totally not on drugs and were you awake?
Yeah, no, I completely woke up. I literally felt like this energy rush from my feet up to my head and my head popped open. And then I was sober and the faces were gone. And I was like, what? I don't know what's happening. And so this happened and then I run out and I go to my big. I'm like, I can't explain this experience. And so they bring me over to all of the other practicing witches and they're like, hey, it's okay. You're probably just sleep deprived. It was just a hallucination. Like we all have hallucinations. One of the alumni in the fraternity during their hell week had like looked into the mirror and seen themselves transform into this bear. So like it was normal for people to have seen things during this experience. It's very almost a spiritual experience just in going through that level of torture.
Right. They did that to us at Catholic school. We did a retreat where they wouldn't let us sleep. And then we would all cry. And then they would say, Jesus is in you, you know, like this is God. He's making you cry. And I was furious because I was like, people believed it. And I was like, no, I'm crying because I must sleep. You took away my sleep. And now I'm crying. Yeah. Anyway, so yeah.
No, completely. I completely agree. It's almost like cults use the same tactics over and over again.
It's so
crazy.
Anyway.
No, it's deeply frustrating. And like, so this happens. I'm not able to sleep. Then I go out because I still have to work. And so I'm driving out to Long Island at, I'd say, 3 a.m. because I have to open up Starbucks.
Oh my God.
And so I'm just talking to myself to keep myself awake because I'm like, I'm not going to fall asleep and wake up on the divider again.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just talking. I'm talking out loud. I'm just going, all right, what's going on? And then I see something in the rearview mirror.
Oh no.
And I look back and nothing's there because of course nothing's there. Why would it be there? And I keep driving and the lights are passing over me one by one through the darkness. And then I see it again and I go, no. Something is there. I need to figure out what it is because these eyes watching me from the back seat have not gone away. Oh and God. So I go, is there an entity in the car with me? And I get a shiver down my spine instantly. And I go, oh, that's kind of weird. What a strange coincidence to have just happened to me. And so I go, all right. Do I know the entity that's in this car with me? Second shiver. Twice is a coincidence. It could still be a little strange, but you know. So I'm going to do the diligent thing and I'm going to keep going. Mm-hmm. So I ask a third time, did I know this entity in a past life of mine? Because I've been learning about past lives a little bit with these people. And instantly again, third shiver down my spine. I'm like, oh. All right, so this is not a coincidence. Like, even if I'm still hallucinating, this is happening.
Yeah.
And so I keep talking and I discover that every time I ask a question that the answer is yes to, I get a shiver. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Any other answer, nothing.
Okay.
So.
Did you ask it anything that was like what did you ask it that was a no?
I kind of asked like, who the person might have been in my past life. Like, were you this person? Were you this person? Mm-hmm. How did you feel about me? Or even questions that were open-ended.
Open-ended, yeah. Cool.
But then, like, I could also tell the intonations of the shivers. Like, sometimes they would be aggressive shivers. Sometimes they would be tentative shivers. Sometimes they would be, like, sassy shivers. It was very interesting. It. Yeah, no, it was lovely. And then I started being like, okay, like, I'm doing this in my body. Maybe I can make it play with the car. Like, all right. If you're actually in here, make the car radio go to static in 3, 2. I was like, what is going on?
Whoa, that actually happened? That's amazing.
I know, right? Literally
that's
so insane.
Cool. Holy cow.
So I was like, and like, of course it was just me in the car. So I was like, no one's ever going to believe this.
Right.
And as I'm trying to like get further, I recognize or I learn about this person that they are a person from my past life who doesn't particularly like me. But it's just like, yeah, no, I'm still here. Like, fuck it, whatever. And it was like, that's a really specific ghost to still be clinging on, I guess.
You're like, why though? Yeah.
So I get to Starbucks because, you know, I still have to open Starbucks after having this experience.
Oh my God.
And I start working in Starbucks.
Is the sun coming up yet?
What?
Is the sun like coming up? Is it light yet or is it, yeah.
No, it's still kind of dark because at this point it was early spring. So it was like just in that phase of like pre-dawn.
Yeah.
So I get there, I'm opening up Starbucks with my coworker whose name was Fallon, who was this lovely trans communist who like radicalized me at 18. And I was like, all right, you've turned me into who I am, I guess. But they were a very staunch atheist. So I couldn't really convey any of this information to them. So I just had to kind of live in terror, like staring out at my car the entire time, just feeling whatever was there watching me. And I'm gripping onto the labradorite in my pocket like it's a switchblade, as if the ghost is gonna like jump me from the frappuccino machine or something. And so I work my shift, I clock out, I go to my car, and I'm like, no, I need to sleep. I'm gonna take a nap in my car. And I do, and I take a nap. I sleep a full 8 hours. So really asleep, not a nap.
Oh my gosh, you slept 8 hours. You must have been so tired. Yeah.
Yeah, it was rough. I think this was day 4 or 5 of the week.
Oh my God, okay. Yeah.
So I wake up and it's dark out again when I wake up, which, you know, great for the story, not super great for me as a person.
Yeah.
So I'm driving back again and like the same thing. It's the middle of the night. Everything's kind of like gray, monochrome. The lights are passing over me. And I'm like, no, I got to see if this was real. Like, I need to know for me if this was a thing that actually happened. And so I ask again, is there something in the car with me? And I get this enthusiastic shiver, like, oh my God, I couldn't wait for you to come back.
Whoa.
And I was like, oh, okay. And then I started thinking, are we alone in the car? Like, is it just you and me, or are there other things in this car? Because like, I've kind of identified the energy of whatever this thing is. And like, I know what it feels like, but it feels like there are other things here.
Okay. And you're not super, I mean, you're afraid, but you're not super afraid of the energy that this thing that you're communicating with is bringing to the table.
Exactly. Yes. No, I'm very much just like, okay, like, we'll see how this goes. Nothing bad happened to me so far, so let's keep trying this out.
Mm-hmm.
And so I go, are there other entities in the car with me? And I get this tremble in my body that's like, oh, hell yes, we're all here. And I realize I'm in like a clown car of ghosts.
Oh my God.
And so I go, how many? How many are there? And obviously I get nothing because, you know, it's not going to answer. It's not a yes or no. So I go, oh, is there one? Is there two? And I get all the way up to six. There are six ghosts in this car with me. When I feel my entire body get rocked, and then hands start pressing along my torso and my arms and my legs, and I'm in the middle of a ghost orgy.
Oh my God, this is so scary. Were you screaming?
I think I was in shock, so I had no idea like how to respond to this, because I was like, oh no, I can physically feel these phantom hands on my body.
Were they like pushing, like they were trying to hurt you? Were they just like...
Very sensually pushing across my torso. I was like, this is strange and uncomfortable.
You were like, stop, but also lower, please.
Yes. Well, I go, oh, okay. As one of the hands starts to make its way up my chest to my neck. Okay. And like, I can get with a kinky ghost. Like I can get behind it, but... feels a little, there's no consent there. They didn't ask first.
Right.
So I go, is there a negative entity in the car with me? Which is a bad question to ask, you know?
It's good to know.
Exactly. But I get this really tentative shiver down my spine. Like, hey, maybe you don't want to ask that. But of course I do. Of course I want to go to the next logical step of this question, which is there a demon in the car with me? And the hand locks around my throat and I get this spine-chilling single finger running vertebrae by vertebrae down my spine. And then my hands lock up and my legs lock up and I am driving 70 miles an hour down the Long Island Expressway, paralyzed.
Oh my God.
And so I'm panicking. This part, I am screaming. I'm freaking out. I have no idea what's going on. But in a flash of clarity, I remember that Raven told me that demons can't touch you without your consent. And apparently I had given consent by asking if the presence was there. And so I was like, okay, no, you don't have permission to touch me. I will not allow this to continue. And I feel my arms loosen up just enough where I can grab the Labradorite in my pocket. And as soon as I wrap my hand around the crystal, all the hands disappear. And so I drive, I get back to the fraternity, and I explain everything that just happened to me. I'm like, what's going on? Please, someone needs to help me. And they go, okay. And so they do smudging, they do incense rituals, they write all over me in charcoal with all these sigils. And I feel a little bit better because I'm like, okay, I'm in a safe space. I have all these people who are like doing very protective things for me. And then Raven comes up to me and asks me, what happened to the Labradorite? Like, did you have that on you? And I go, oh, of course I did. And I still have it gripped in my hand at this point. I have not like loosened up because of a state of shock I've been in.
Mm-hmm.
And I open up my hands and we both gasp because the green Labradorite crystal is now piss yellow and with a single crack down the center of it.
Oh my God. It's amazing. Do you still have it?
No, I don't. I gave it to her because she was like, we need to bury this thing.
I was gonna say, could it be no longer working?
That's basically what it was. So we buried it out in this place called the Witch's Grave out by us, which is this place where an old church burned down. A very strange little space to have on a college campus. But yeah, we buried it there, like did some rituals under the full moon. We're like, all right, we are going to leave that over there.
Oh my God, that's so scary. So do you feel, having this had this experience, that the demon, like basically it protected you, but it could only do so much? It basically, like, the demon broke it?
That was basically, that's my theory on it, really, because like nothing has happened to me since, fortunately. But yeah, that I was like, I wasn't fully a believer in anything prior to this. I had done a lot of my own like research into like different religions and new age spirituality and theosophy and just trying to figure all of it out. But I didn't believe that ghosts were real. And then this happened and I was like, well, how can I not?
Oh my goodness. And so now you absolutely believe. Do you have like a religion, or do you have any sort of spirituality now?
Yeah, actually, I do have a pretty solid sense of spirituality. I definitely have a very amorphous idea of just like everything being energy, everything kind of just being one big thing. And we're all just experiencing our lives through our own perspectives to one day get back to whatever happens to be there.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yes. Yes. I love that. I also feel that way. Wow. Oh my gosh. This is an incredible, incredible story and so scary. So it's almost like you had like a ghost in the car being like, I'm just going to hang out with you because there is a demon in here and the demon does want you to die. So I'm just going to be like, hey.
I'll just be like, hey, buddy, just gonna make sure it's all good.
Yeah. In the car with you guys. Oh my gosh. So do you feel like, yeah, I mean, to me, it sounds like that first ghost was a protective spirit.
Yeah. And I think it's very interesting that the ghost was like, maybe don't. And like, also wasn't super a big fan of me, but was like, yeah, no, I'm just here. Like, it was very much just like, no, I'm here to protect you, you dumb asshole. Like,
some distant relative or a kid you went to school with, like, and yeah. Like, I don't really care, but you have opened up a portal to hell and I will just sort of guard it a little bit. Did you tell your dad any of this stuff?
Yeah, no, I've told him since. And he was like, that's crazy. Just like kind of astounded by it. He definitely, since now that I'm older, I understand he has a more entertainment perspective of it than necessarily a spiritual one. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I think me telling him this was like, oh, maybe it's not all just fun and games and like running around with a camera at night.
What is his job?
He's actually a home inspector. So like very much outside of like his normal realm, it's very much like a hobby for him.
Cool. Wow. Well, this is incredible. I love your story so much. Do you have anything else that you want to talk about before we get out of here?
Yeah. I have a couple shows coming up. I think probably by the time you edit this, the only one that'll still be like a thing will be the Yas Queer Fest, which is happening at Broadway Comedy Club it's happening on November 18th. So yeah. I also have a show at Boris and Horton, which is a dog cafe, on November 11th, which is super fun. And then at some point I'll be back at QED in December to tell some fun holiday stories.
Amazing. Cool. And where can people find you online and plug anything else you want to plug?
Yeah, people can find me online at Tyler Zioli Talks Too Much on Instagram and TikTok. You can also find me on Twitter at Tyler Zioli. And one other thing, I used to work very closely with this nonprofit called Write Hive, which is a nonprofit dedicated to uplifting marginalized voices in publishing. They hold free conferences, free workshops. They have a Discord community. Definitely check them out if you're interested in any form of prose writing or poetry or nonfiction. They have really great resources and opportunities to connect with people.
Oh, that's awesome. And you are Tyler Zioli. Zioli is Zeoli, right?
That is correct.
Great. Awesome. Well, Tyler, thank you so much for doing this podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I had so much fun. Every time I get to tell that story is great.
Thank you for listening to Comedians with Ghost Stories. Please check me out at Emily MC Winter on Instagram and Twitter, and grab a copy of One Day Smarter, Hilarious Random Information to Uplift and Inspire, my new trivia book, wherever you get your books. Have a great week.